Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Terminal fans, QT and Sign Guy with you like normal here on a Sunday afternoon. Real fast before we jump into things, don't forget that today you can find WAC in Everett, Washington. You can also find PTW in Paris, Kentucky. Blue Collar Wrestling happening like usual at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. And want to say good luck to all of our locals at Tacoma today for the WWE pay-per-view, and also Turnbuckle Turmoil alumni Jason Ayers producing his first pay-per-view today for WWE. So good luck to all involved in those. And without further ado, I want to welcome to the show his first time with us from the aforementioned Blue Collar Wrestling, Douglas. Douglas Rockefeller, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Not too badly. Now, since it is your first
time. Thank you for inviting me today.
Oh, our pleasure to have you. And being your first time, I will give you our traditional first-timers question to lead off here. What got you into the professional wrestling business?
I have some family background in professional wrestling. I was a late starter a little bit in terms of being more or less, quote unquote, officially involved. But when I was growing up, my father's stepbrother was a midget wrestler in the Midwest and in the southeast part of the country. He went by the name of Billy Colt in the 1960s, more or less, early 70s. And he traveled quite a bit, so we had some experience there, meeting some of the famous people from around the country every once in a while. And I had always been involved in from that sense. And when I was living in London, which is where I got started, I got involved with an organization called Lucha Britannia, which is an alternative style wrestling show. Great, fantastic wrestlers. However, some of the more famous wrestlers from, current AEW signee, Michinoku slammed me more than once, as he was in his, Lucha Britannia gimmick, and, just a fantastic experience overall. They saw something in me that I was able to speak on the mic and entertain the crowd. And I became the heel, bad guy, Mr. Douglas Rockefeller, CEO of Team America. The Yankee Wanka is what they used to call me. And I appreciated that a lot. Then we moved back to the United States, and then I became involved in some federations here in the Pacific Northwest, and finally kind of settled in with Blue Collar Wrestling.
Now, for the fans listening across the United States, Douglas is referring to London, England, and not London, Kentucky, I believe.
That is correct. Jolly old UK. I had a great time there.
Obviously, style is a lot different than our American style over here. A lot more mat-based, a lot more submission-based.
Yes.
When you made the transition back to the States, was it easy for you to get used to the style switch, or was it a little difficult?
There was a little bit of a transition. I mean, there, as you were saying, there's lots of catch-as-catch-can wrestling in the UK. My trainers, we had a hybrid style when I was training there. It was a traditional Mexican lucha style, although working the left arm instead of the right. That mixed in with the British style with some American style thrown in, some Japanese strong style. They did with, you know, the old traditional British style is there in British wrestling, but it is definitely more of a hybrid combined with the American style. But we learned a lot of, like, very interesting, different bits on how to take people down. And, you know, it reminded me a lot of, like, when I was growing up, the old Billy Robinson matches that I would see. Not that I'm comparing myself whatsoever to the great Billy Robinson, but that was the style that we learned in a lot of respects, like I said, combined with some of the other international styles. They did a great job of it, of being able to meld those together to have this amazing, entertaining product that anybody from wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans would come and just blow the roof off. But coming back to the United States, some of the some of what I thought was fairly standard in terms of vernacular or in terms of style turned out to be not that way, and so there was a little bit of adjustment there. A little bit around the lockups or some of the reversals or escapes were a little bit novel to some of the people here, and not that I was by any sense an experienced wrestler, because I didn't have a lot of matches in the UK. I was mostly from the commentator manager point of view, and so, but I trained for a couple of years there. I've trained a little while here, so I've got my feet wet, at least in terms of being able to hold my own in the ring.
At Blue Collar Wrestling, of course, you are the collar commentator there, and Blue Collar Wrestling has been on several of the streaming services such as Fight TV and Nothing Else On .TV. It's seen
yes.
all over the world by thousands of people. What has it been like, sort of from the ground floor, getting involved with Blue Collar when they started branching out into the streaming services?
Well, I've seen a lot of growth in my time since I've been involved with Blue Collar Wrestling. I've been there for about a year and a half now. And the quality of wrestling at Blue Collar Wrestling has just skyrocketed. It was always solid, but it has, since we, part of it I think has to do with a little bit of what you're saying around Fight TV, around Nothing Else On .TV, which we're currently being seen on, like you said, from around the world. And when that when the wrestlers know that this is what, you know, that you're being seen from thousands of people around the world, from fans in China and on any given night, the UK, Italy, Brazil, South Korea, we're getting fans from all over the world coming to see what the big deal is. The wrestlers are stepping up their game as well. So, you know, give them the chance to run with the football, they're going to carry it. And they've done a remarkable job and has made my job as a commentator that much easier and that much more pleasurable. It is always a lot of fun and is always a very rewarding experience, especially in the past 6 months or so, to commentate for Blue Collar Wrestling.
One of the other big technologies that has really boosted not only Blue Collar Wrestling, but professional wrestling as an industry, is social media. Some promotions understand how to use it to the fullest potential. Some do not. Same with individual wrestlers. what's your take on social media and how independent wrestling has benefited from it and might benefit in the future from it?
Well, you kind of hit it on the head, having been involved with organizations from around the world. I've seen some use it better than others. And it is not the end-all, be-all in and of itself. I still think you have to pound the bricks and, you know, make sure that people who aren't so socially socially media savvy, are able to access your content, able to understand that you're there. It's certainly a great, great tool. When I was in the UK, we used a lot of Twitter feuds to help promote the product and create interest, some of which were, quote unquote, more real than others. But regardless, that was a tool to leverage. Facebook has been, of course, great. Instagram is something that they use quite a bit in the UK that they probably use a little bit less here in terms of promoting product. I see as all of these products become more and more integrated and become more and more part of the professional wrestling landscape or wallpaper, if you will, that it's only going to help the products overall because it gets your product out to as many different people as possible with as little work, I think, behind it. Not that it's not work, but the fact that, you know, a tweet can get, you know, sent out and passed out to from one person to 100 person exponentially is something that hasn't happened before until the past, you know, 10 years or so. So I think we're just kind of scratching the surface, to be honest.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT Vokes is with us, and I think QT has some questions, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Well, thank you, son, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Douglas.
How did the Lucha Britannica International do in downtown Portland on May 17th, and was it well attended?
Ah, that's a good story. that was postponed. Lucha Britannia Internacional. That is the American version of Lucha Britannia in London. We had a venue booked. We were going to run with it on May 17th down at the Paris Theater. And as we got closer, we realized that we were bringing in four wrestlers from the UK from Lucha Britannia London. And the flights started to go up in price, and we realized that we couldn't quite leverage it the right way that we wanted. So we postponed until the fall. I'm working with a partner right now. We may even have our own space that we're working on. It's going to be some exciting times coming up with Lucha Britannia. So, we had a very famous Chikara wrestler who was going to come in and work with us. I don't want to say any names because it didn't go through. But that was the plan, is for us to have all these people. But like I said, as we realized, as we got closer to the date and I was looking up ticket prices, it was like, it wasn't going to be something that we were going to be able to do by the May kickoff. So we've postponed until October. We're working with some great people here, in the Portland area to come up with some space and to do some really incredible things that, you know, hopefully we will be able to match and in some cases surpass what they're doing in London. Because in London, Lucha Britannia in London they've been running for, I think now, I know that like 12 years, and they're able to bring in some of the best UK talent. Now that, like I said, you know, some of whom have gone on to much bigger and better things, they run the largest, the London School of Lucha Libre, as they call it. It's the largest professional wrestling school in Europe. And on any Monday night, on their beginner's night, they'll have anywhere from 25 to 50 trainees coming in. They do an incredible job. They've sent people to Next. They've had all people to New Japan. They've had people, like I said, who've signed on with AEW. There's lots of great things that's going on there, and so that's the model that we're looking to emulate. It's a fantastic organization that's owned by Gary Vanderhorn and the lead trainer is Greg Burridge, the Puka one, and anybody in the UK, if you say Greg Burridge's name, they'll go, oh, yes, highly, highly respected individual. So, like I said, we needed to push it off a little bit, unfortunately, but it's going to be better for it, I think.
Wow, okay. Now, did Lucha Britannica have any wrestlers go on to NXT, have a tryout for NXT?
Yes. Yeah, there were not just tryouts. They've had people signed. One of the most interesting stories is a couple of years ago, before there were so many signees for NXT, there was a gentleman there who was trained up basically from zero to an NXT contract. And what they found out, though, and it saved his life because he had a heart condition. He's a former Royal Marine that served twice in Afghanistan, and he had a heart condition that had never been picked up. But during the physical, when he had his contract in his hand, part of the thing, as you send back the contract, you need to send back the physical. And he found out that he had this heart condition, and he ended up having to have three open heart surgeries. And so he's doing other things now, but he was a signee. There are two current NXT UK, NXT UK signees who are currently appearing on television there, who came through the London School of Lucha Libre. There's New Japan Pro Wrestling superstar. I don't know if I should be saying names or not. That's why I'm kind of pausing a little bit and I'm being slightly vague. I think we can talk about Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay and I trained together, and he was destined for stardom there. As you can he was just he was probably 19 years old at the time, and we had to hold him back almost because he was just, you could just tell special things were going to happen. From this guy, and they were able to take all of this raw talent and turn him into a wrestler. Because you think he's flippy now, boy, you should have seen him then. he respects the business and he does everything that he possibly can to help not promote just professional wrestling in general. But he goes back and he trains with, he offers trainings with the London School of Lucha Libre, and he doesn't charge because he wants to give back to where he started from. He's a class act as far anything around professional wrestling. Will Ospreay is fantastic. And then, like I said, we had one of the London School of Lucha Libre trainees. She just signed up with AEW. So yeah, they've got a really large reach. It's just not about volume. It's about quality.
Wow. All right. Well, now I know that a heel lucha wrestler, a male, is called El Rudo. What do you call a female heel lucha wrestler in Spanish? Do you call her La Reducida?
La Ruda. Ruda. Rudas.
Oh, okay.
And Rudas.
Rudas. Oh, hey, I was pretty close.
Yes, you weren't too far off.
La Rudadesa. Okay, La Ruda. Okay. Wow. Now, did you have many heel female lucha wrestlers lined up for that Lucha Britannica match before it got canceled? A lot of female heel lucha wrestlers. Did you have any that were flying?
Not a heel. We were bringing in one from the UK, but she was going to be a good guy, and she was going to be, as they say in the Mexican world of professional wrestling, a técnica. Yeah, she was going to be a good guy. We were matching them up with, of course, You know, we were bringing in the London people because we wanted to make a big, huge first big splash for the first show. Naturally, we were going to run with local talent because there's a lot of amazing local talent to be able to draw from for the upcoming shows. But we were still working with the card. We were basing it, you know, because we got to have the right people to be able to put on the right kind of show that makes the right kind of sense for what Lucha Britannia is. But no, there weren't any. I didn't have specifically a heel female come over. It was actually a husband and wife team who we were hoping to bring over, who met at the London School of Lucha Libre. I believe they started after I had left, but I've seen them both wrestle and they're both fantastic, just fantastic performers.
Oh, very good. All right. Now, would this have been the first event, the first Lucha Britannica event in Portland that you would have had? Or how many years has Lucha Britannica gone on in Portland? Can you tell our listeners?
No. Lucha Britannia. Lucha Britannia runs in London every month. Monthly shows. They've tried bi-monthly, but they've got so much talent. They ended up having to create a second league on Sundays because they've got so many people and so much talent to draw from. It's just an amazing movement, and you know they're working with some of the very they're working with Pro Wrestling Eve. They're working with some really great groups there as well. Here in when I moved to the United States. We were looking as a possibility of creating Lucha Britannia satellites kind of from around the world, and that's kind of where we're kind of working with. So we're going to start here in Portland. We've been talking with people from other parts of the country that maybe that we're going to have Lucha Britannia Portland, or we could have Lucha Britannia, let's say, and this is just at a random city, Lucha Britannia Chicago, Lucha Britannia Fort Worth, Lucha Britannia wherever, New York City. But the first show was meant to be May 17th. And like I said, there were some things that didn't quite fit together the way I'd hoped. And so we're just going to postpone. And we've got bigger, way bigger and better things planned for the fall. So that's where we're going to go with that.
And when did you move to the United States? And how long does a typical flight take?
Oh gosh, it's approaching now 6 years. We moved in the summer of, I think it was 2000. I can't remember what it was. 6 years ago, though. It was in the summer. And a flight can be, depending on which part of the country you're going to, 12 hours, 13 hours, depending on which direction you're going. If you're going with the wind or against the wind, it adds another hour and a half.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
They're
long flights.
Wow. I would hope you get a first class away from the mob of the rest of the plane.
Away from the riffraff.
Yes.
Well, I do what I can. It's sometimes the difference between a $1,200 flight versus a $4,000 flight. You know. Doesn't make it always as feasible as I would like.
Yes, sometimes they pack in like sardines. I can only hope that your flight was like Jerry Seinfeld's when he was in first class because he had lots of leg room and he sat next to a European model and he got served a chocolate sundae.
Oh, in other words, a typical Sunday afternoon for me.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it always is.
Well, Douglas, have you had any bad interactions, or for that part, very good interactions with the Ding 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 Kid, who is the bell ringer at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Oh, the Ding Ding Kid. He's a good example of why, ladies and gentlemen, you need to stay in school and you need to finish up your high school education, get a GED, maybe go to college, or else you end up like the Ding Ding Kid. I kid, of course. He's a very nice young man. Sometimes he likes to be a little smart with me, but who doesn't? A lot, you know, some people don't appreciate my my brand of humor and insight, and so I get booed a lot. And the Ding Ding Kid is no different than the rest. But in general, he's a pleasant young man. He just needs to learn a little respect, to especially, you know, people who are older and who know more than him. In general, though, he's a very nice young man.
Oh, okay. Because he and Sign Guy had a run in. Somehow he wasn't getting Sign Guy's signals as a referee, and he wouldn't ring the bell on time, and things came to a head with an actual wrestling match.
I saw that. I was there. That was the beginning of my time at Blue Collar Wrestling. I was slightly shocked and surprised. And I remember Bad Blood, you know, coming in. You know, and the less we talk about him, the better, because he's always interfering in people's business. Thank goodness he's in Indiana this weekend, so I get a little bit of a respite from the so-called franchise player. But yeah, I think he delivered a super kick, I think, to Sign Guy, if I recall. Yeah, the Ding Ding Kid, you know, sometimes he doesn't know his place. He doesn't know his position in the world, and so, yeah, you gotta kind of proverbially slap him in the head and show him who's boss. Kind of like a dog. You roll up a newspaper, you hit the dog on the end of the nose with a newspaper, and you point your finger and you go, "No, no." And, you know, most of the time that works. And so the Ding Ding Kid is similar.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Douglas, I was amazed to learn that in England, the Queen has her own poet. My question is, at one time, did Leaping Lanny Poffle apply for the job of the Queen's poet that you know of?
I think he was the inspiration from what I recall. I think the Queen was watching professional wrestling one evening, and she saw the genius of the genius. And she says, "My goodness, I need some of that." And Lanny Poffle, of course, was on tour. He wasn't available, so she had the Royal Court. I think they what's the word for it when you pull somebody against their will into the military? She took somebody off the street, basically, one of the riffraff, and turned him into a poet and made him dance for her entertainment, I think. Tell her poet. I could be wrong about the details, though. Conscripted is the word I was looking for.
Yes.
And so, but I might be recalling that a little bit hazily.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, it's a conscripted has a close tie with a term shanghaied. Are you familiar with the word shanghaied?
I know there's a city called Shanghai. Is that what you mean?
Usually it comes from the time in history in the 1800s when there were still sailing ships, and usually Shanghai would be a term where these people, like in San Francisco or the sailing ports, they'd find themselves at a bar. And then someone would slip something into their drink, and they'd get shanghaied. They'd wake up and they'd find themselves on a slow boat to Shanghai, China, because jobs on those sailing ships were pretty tough, and people didn't want to volunteer for them, or they didn't want to have a regular sailing job on the sailing ships, because all they fed you was like hard tack and water, and so that someone would have to put something in your drink, and then you'd find yourself on a boat to China, and you were instantly a sailor. Shanghaied.
Oh, so they got roofied. I didn't know they used roofanol back in the day, but you know, maybe it was something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it was.
I wasn't exactly aware that was where the terminology came from, but I'm not surprised, because you know, things can be pretty creepy back in the past. I'm glad I live when I do today.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, we have another caller on the line. Let's bring them on in case they have something to say here. We have the caller out of the 971.
Yeah. ET and rock stars both need to be same height.
Paul Moonshine. Martin?
Oh, my goodness. I didn't... I thought this was a class act. That when I agreed to come on to your show, I thought this was a class. I thought this was a classy organization. But you're letting people like Paul Moonshine call in. Like I thought you had a screener.
You know, the Rockefellers on there. There's nobody more important in the VCW than Paul Moonshine, and that's who needs to be on here instead of Rockefellers.
I think Paul Moonshine's been sipping on the Rufinol himself because he's obviously delusional and a little bit sick in the head. And, you know, I think, Paul, I mean, if you're listening, if you can listen, jealousy is really a wasted emotion, and you should really be more concerned about your daily regimen of, like, bathing sometimes. That would be useful. Take a bath. Use deodorant.
The only reason I'm sick is because I have to be around you week after week, and you're the one that makes me sick. And I was sick to my stomach this morning. I thought, oh, this is Sunday. I got to be around Rockefeller.
He's got an active imagination, doesn't he? That Paul Moonshine. It's that combined with dementia. And just plain dumbness, because he's not very smart, Paul Moonshine. He's kind of dumb. And we let him hang around because we feel sorry for him, because what else is he going to do? He's just going to sit in the corner and, you know, stare and mumble and drool on himself. And so, you know, we let him act like, you know, that he's got something to do, and actually he doesn't. He just kind of gets in the way.
Victor has to do your job and his job both, and So why are you even needed?
Are you still talking, Paul? Are you still here? I couldn't tell. Well, what is it that you have to say that you think's important?
Yeah, you know what I just said. Victor, he's can be your job and his job and everybody else's job that's behind that mic, you know, we don't even need you, but we tolerate you.
Okay, I'm gonna just shake my head sadly as I listen to the even further degradation of the mind of Paul Moonshine. For those of you who are listening who don't know who Paul Moonshine is, and that's pretty much every single person on Earth. Paul Moonshine is, you know, he's the head of this clan called the Moonshiners, and his wacky son JB Moonshine, who wears coveralls, who he also doesn't bathe very often, and then they've got cousin Jameson, who's half man, half dog, and all idiot, and Paul Moonshine, you know, he puts a bolo on and he thinks that's classy. Because he grew up in a trailer park, and you know they still have, you know, they still dream of indoor plumbing. That's kind of where Paul Moonshine comes from. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening in the audience, to have to put you through this. But like I said, I was unaware that, you know, a man like Paul Moonshine could actually make a phone call, because I didn't realize that they had phones where he was, or even cell phone coverage. In the mountains of Appalachia, but the fact that he would be allowed on a show like this. So, that's sort of, you know, hey, but that's my life every Sunday, is having to navigate through this mess.
Hey, Rockefeller, listen up a minute.
Yes.
I got a question for you. What's your opinion of Zach Winters being on our team and being a tag team champion with JB?
Sometimes things don't turn out the way you think they would. I thought Zach Winters had more class. He used to be known as the wonderful Zach Winters when he was the head of the Freak Show, and they adopted you. They won your contract, and they let you change you to the basement. They fed you scraps, which is, you know, you were better fed than you'd ever been in your life. And then you rejected them, and then Zach Winters, you know, he went on vacation. I think he was a little sad that you rejected him. And then when he came back, he thought that you know, the freak show would welcome him with open arms, and they didn't. They'd outgrown him, and so where else did he have to turn to? The Moonshiners. That's so sad. Oh my God, it's so sad. It's funny that somebody had to go to the Moonshiners, and he went from the wonderful Zach Winters to the woeful Zach Winters. But yeah, you guys are the champions somehow. I don't know what happened. I think, you know, there was a solar flare or something happened, and you know, the light got in somebody's eyes or something. And yeah, you guys, the Moonshiners with wonderful Zach Winters, you guys are the champions. So good on you, I guess.
Oh yeah, well, you know it or not, you know, the freak show has been begging me to come back. And I'm not doing it. But they've been begging me to come back.
Stop lying.
Because they know what I can do as a manager and stuff, and they've been begging me to come back.
A wart on the butt of professional wrestling, that's something that you can be.
I can take them places they've never been to before.
What? To the outhouse? I don't understand. What are you talking about?
Well, if that's where they want to go, that they've never been there, right?
Paul Moonshine, always classy, ladies and gentlemen. What a pleasure! What a treat!
They got outhouses. Yes.
Is he still here? I can't tell.
What was that, Keith?
They got outhouses in England, and in England they have their equal or complement of a hillside Appalachian person in England. I think they come from Blackpool, England. Yes,
or the Geordie folk, or the northern folk. They're unique. Paul might fit up with the northerners. It's kind of the opposite there. The northerners are the kind of the hillbillies.
I'm going to introduce Douglas to the outhouse because he's got to learn to have one first name, not Douglas. Douglas, what the, you know, well, what, you know, when you were born, your parents stuttered, and so that's what they named you, Douglas.
Now that's comedy, ladies and gentlemen, right there, straight from the stuttering mouth of Paul Moonshine. No, I was named twice, Douglas, because, you know, there's so much of me to love, and you need to make sure that you don't forget my name, or whatever. It doesn't matter, Paul Moonshine. Stop focusing on the little things, and start focusing on the big things, like hygiene, okay?
I do focus on the big things. That's why my son is a tag team champion. That's why he is also a heavyweight champion in Northwest Pro. That's why he's been a champion everywhere he goes.
Well, I can't argue with that. You know, he's too dumb to know when he's beat. That's kind of what makes him dangerous. And so, you know, he doesn't know any better, so he just keeps going. He's like the little train that couldn't. But occasionally he can, and occasionally he does, and I'm going to give credit where it's due. You know, I like JB. I have nothing against the man other than the fact that he's stinky. And he's really stinky sometimes, and that's just a bad thing.
You know, just because your odor is different than Moonshine, you know, there's a fine line that down there that Moonshine smells good. Whatever you drink does not smell good. We're talking about what's that green stuff you high almighty think is so good, apple tini or whatever it is.
Apple tini.
That's what I said was apple tini.
I can guarantee you I've never had an apple tini in my life, Paul McTine, but that's fine. Go on.
I don't know. I, you act like that's what you drink. That's what all these high and mighty people drink.
Well, that was the smartest thing you've said this entire time. I don't know, because that is, you know, that's your MO. You just don't know. And you act like you know, but you don't. And it's okay. It's not okay. Your ignorance is not okay. Lack of education is not okay. I take that back. But you're you, and that's, I want to say that's enough, but it's not enough. Again, Paul Moonshine, you know do something other than putter around and get in the way. That's my advice to you. And then maybe you can graduate from $2 hats and $1 bolos to $3 hats and $2 bolos. That would be a step up for you.
I think the step up going to be when I set you and I mount you on top of my stick. So
you're gonna mount me? Excuse me? What?
Let me finish. On my walking stick, and then wave you around and call you Douglas on a stick. And then see if you're still smiling when that thing's so far up your keister that you're gonna have to go to the hospital to get it surgically removed, and then I'm not gonna want it back because I don't know where it's been.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you drink too much bathtub moonshine. It rots your brain and you end up like this man right here. So again, let that be a lesson to you. Stay in school and don't drink rot gut moonshine, because you'll be stupid and you'll end up really, really dumb like Paul Moonshine. I have no idea what you just said, Paul, but that's about par for the course for you. Do you have anything smart to say? I'd like to hear it if you did.
I've already been saying stuff that's smart. The smartest thing I could say is Douglas. Why am I saying Douglas? Because I know what your first name is. Your middle name is Idiot, and your last name, you think you're a Rockefeller, but I know better than that.
How do you know this, Paul? How do you know these things? Because you can't read, and you certainly can't hire anybody to follow me around because you don't have any money. Rockefeller's my name.
How I dress? I dress costlier than you do. What do you mean I don't have any money? I got plenty of money, and just because I won't share it with you. Don't get jealous. Just because I can do things that you can't do.
Well, yeah, there are things you can do that I can't do, like run around with open sores because you don't get your rashes taken care of. Yeah, so yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's true. Take a bath.
Maybe we ought to set up something where I'll match against you, maybe.
Pardon me? I missed that.
How about you and Darth Carter?
How about me what? Paul, you've got to enunciate. I know your teeth are all fake, but you've got to enunciate
Darth
more.
Darth Carter. You don't know who Darth Carter is? Maybe I ought to introduce you to him.
All right. It'd be a pleasure. If he's not you, then it's going to be a step up.
What Douglas would be pretty interesting. Darth Carter, Douglas card. Yes.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Paul was interrupting you, just like he does everyone.
I think Darth Carter and Douglas would be a pretty good tag team.
Oh, there we go.
I'm not saying a tag team. I said against him.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
Darth Carter is going to go against you someday, Keith. I'm going to see to it.
Well, I do fear your walking. That's something to be pretty afraid of. That walking stick is a formidable weapon. Yes.
It's a foreign object.
That's right. It's not foreign. It was made in the U.S. It's not foreign.
again, ladies and gentlemen, that's comedy. That's timing that you can't learn. You got to be born with that thing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I wish I could say it was a pleasure, but it wasn't. Are you gonna make me listen? Are you gonna make me suffer through more Paw Moonshine? I will if you think it's for the benefit of the audience. But I don't think anyone benefits whenever Paw Moonshine comes around. That's the problem.
Everybody benefits when Paw Moonshine comes around. Everybody loves Paw Moonshine. Except for last week. I don't know what the hell happened.
Except for last week. Yeah, it's not Mother's Day, Paw Moonshine. Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Yeah, that's normal for you, though. You usually don't know what the hell happened. You walk around like you've been hit in the head, and you have this stunned, blank look on your face, and you kind of drool. And
I'm old. What's your excuse? I'm old. What's your excuse?
You see, you interrupt and you try. You think that by talking louder that makes your point more valid, but it doesn't. Which you have to understand.
I'm old. What's your excuse? Answer the question.
What's my excuse for what? I don't drool, Paul. I'm articulate.
I said I'm old. What's your excuse?
Heard you. That's the fifth time you said it.
Answer the damn question. Then answer the damn question.
It's a dumb question, so it doesn't make any sense.
No, it's not. It doesn't make sense.
My excuse for being smarter than you?
You're saying that I'm stupid. What's your excuse? I'm old. What's your excuse?
Oh,
I might be, in other words, I might be stupid, so are you.
There you go. There you have it. Paw Moonshine logic, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
You can't follow it.
Anyway,
you can't get rid of it.
Anyway, I'll let you finish your show. I just wanted to get on here and say a few things about Mr. Rockefeller. And unfortunately, I will see you later.
Okay. He makes a good impression, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? There you go. Paw Moonshine, thank you for calling.
Well, I think Paul Moonshine has quite a bit of street smarts. You know, street smarts, it's something you can't learn in school or college, you know. I think Paul Moonshine would be comfortable on the mean streets of Blackpool, England. I think that's where Lord Alfred Hayes came from. Yes.
Oh, yes. His lordship. I miss that man. But please don't compare Paul Moonshine to Lord Alfred Hayes.
Okay.
Because that's just sad. Because Paul Moonshine's sad, and Lord Alfred Hayes was amazing. And a very accomplished wrestler as well.
Well, Douglas, the city of Winchester was the first capital of England from the year 827 to 1066. My question is, Charles M. Emerson Winchester of MASH be able to be a good babyface wrestler in BCW? Charles Emerson Winchester.
If he put his mind to it, I'm certain he could, because he's a man of impeccable breeding. He has one of the very best educations of anyone. He comes from Boston, one of the most regal cities in the United States. So yes, I think he'd fit in well.
Now, did you yourself wrestle in high school, or did you play cricket?
I wrestled up until my freshman year. I've never played cricket in my life. I've watched cricket. I don't understand it very well. I think it's the way most people from around the world look at baseball. They appreciate the athleticism, but they don't quite understand what's going on.
Wow. Now, speaking of schools that you attended in England, there's a highly regimented or striated society in England, a class of society. You've got your upper class, and you've got your working class and lower class. Were
right.
the school rivalries in England really intense, and were there a lot of school pride?
There is not the same kind of school pride that you see in the United States, where, you know, go Mustangs, woo! There's not that. Primarily because sports isn't as an important aspect of high school life as it is in the United States. So there's a little bit less of that. It more comes from the quality of politician that your school produces, like Eton School, one of the most famous schools, one of the most famous preparatory schools. So that's where kind of the pride comes from in the UK. Because you're right, there is a lot of, there definitely it's a class-based society. It was very interesting being over there and seeing some of that in action. Certain people, and you're expected to behave a certain way if a person from a higher position than you are comes to where you are. It's, I didn't agree with it, but it's not my culture, so I adapted.
Well, how would Paul Moonshine do in the finest universities of England? Paul Moonshine.
They would poke him with a stick until he left. The beefeaters would come over and jab him and make him leave. He wouldn't get very far in the door. He might make it down to the Workman's pub down the street, and they might have pity on him. That's my Workman accent that I use occasionally. But yeah, they might do that. They might look at him as an oddity, and, you know, keep him around and feed him a peanut so he might do a trick. So, you know, because they've got a good sense of humor in the UK. It's dry, but it's there. And so I think in that sense they would appreciate Paul Moonshine being something along the lines of a trained monkey.
Oh boy, that's pretty harsh. How would you say, critique? Yes. Okay, well, that remains to be seen. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Okay.
Thank
you, QT. Well, Douglas, one of the things that blue-collar wrestling on occasion has during their shows is blood. Especially when there's a cage match or a chain match or something of that nature. Often there's a lot of blood on the shows. Blood has been a controversial subject in professional wrestling the last few years just because of the medical knowledge that we have now about the dangers of bloodborne transmitted diseases and that type of thing. Where do you stand on blood during the course of wrestling matches?
Sometimes blood happens, whether you like it or not. Accidents happen. It's not something that I particularly enjoy watching. Wrestling is a brutal sport, as we know. It's not needlepoint. So things are going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. There isn't a wrestler out there who's been wrestling for more than a couple of years who hasn't had sprained wrists or broken bones or something cut open. It just happens as the natural course of how a match progresses. Blood is, it's not like it wouldn't be something that I would encourage, but sometimes it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Hopefully everybody is trained and prepared and tested. So as you were saying, bloodborne pathogens don't get spread because there can be all kinds of things, whether it's hepatitis or whether it's even, you know, the HIV virus, you know, there are things that can get passed. The, you know, MRSA virus can get caught, passed through from a suppressor. So yes, being cautious about that, I think, is paramount.
Well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show today, and I want to give you ample time. If there is anything you would like to say today to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite laundromat, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, first of all, I would like to start by thanking you for inviting me onto your show. It was a pleasure, even though Paul Moonshine was on it and interrupted it. But that's part of the what's going to happen. Anytime you hang out with somebody, you know, you hang around where there are people like Paul Moonshine, you know, things are going to get interrupted, and you deal with them like you would a child, and you're patient with them, and you say, yes, Paul Moonshine, whatever you need, Paul Moonshine, sure, Paul Moonshine, and you give him a sucker, and he'll go away, and he'll look at something shiny and be distracted. That's how you have to deal with people like him. Last minute things to say, shout out to everybody at Lucha Britannia in London. Lucha Britannia Internacional is going to be something that's going to be great. It's going to start off here in Portland. And like I said, we've got big plans for Lucha Britannia Internacional beyond just Portland. Yeah, we've been talking with people. But until that happens, it's all just talk, and so I don't want to push too hard on it. We had a plan before, and that plan fell through. And so sometimes the best plans, you need to regroup. So I don't want to oversell, but at the same time, big things definitely are afoot for Lucha Britannia, not just in the UK, but here in the United States. Blue Collar Wrestling, you can hear me every single Sunday, with the exception of today. Every Sunday at 6 p.m., we broadcast live around the world on nothing else on .tv. And there are all kinds of other amazing wrestling promotions on nothing else on .tv. There's other entertainment. So it's a great channel. You go there, you subscribe, and you can see some of the very best wrestling action in the world. We are one of the only, and we're the only federation, as far as I know, in the Pacific Northwest that runs weekly, because weekly wrestling works, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Doors open at 5:30. If you can come see us live, if you're anywhere near the Portland, Oregon area, come see us live. It is so much fun. See what the big deal is. See why, thousands upon thousands of people, sometimes tens of thousands of people, listen and tune in to Blue Collar Wrestling every single Sunday. Weekly wrestling can work if you do it the right way. And like a little bit of what you're talking before, I think we're just scratching the surface, the potential around social media, about what, how to approach wrestling in new and innovative ways. I think that might be what I need to say as far as that goes. It was an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure was all ours, and hopefully we'll get to do this again at some point down the road. I will see you next week, I believe. Fans, definitely,
yes,
if you have access to Fight TV or if you have access to nothing else on .tv, check out Blue Collar Wrestling. You can catch Douglas Rockefeller doing what he does best on our program on those outlets. So tune in. Support us there in Portland. Douglas, a pleasure, and I will see you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, fans, definitely get out there. Support your local independent pro wrestling wherever it may be. Or check out the pay-per-view if you're in the Tacoma area. Time to get down there to the Dome. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we have Amateurs to Pro Day on the show, and 1 week from today, female sensation, also out of England, Heidi Katrina, will be with us. So make sure you join us then, and we'll talk to you soon.